everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Fortress Of, a podcast about movies and TV shows and video games and lots of pop culture nerd things. My name is Oscar, and with me per use are your three other hosts, Alex, Brian, and Devin.
What's up, everybody?
Yo, lots of good boys.
We're all here. We're all here.
And girls and theys.
It's amazing. It's a Christmas.
Alex, we're in the same room.
Christmas miracle.
That's true. It is a Christmas miracle. We are yet again one small step closer to all doing this podcast live and in the present and in the same room. We're one third of the way there. Me and Oscar are recording together. Devin and Brian, you guys hung out today for lunch, but now we're not in the same city anymore.
Yeah. That's actually
Mm-hmm. We're getting close.
Yeah.
So one day, listeners will all be in the same room. It'll be fun.
I mean, when you guys donate to our OnlyFans, we will be able to all get together and do this full time. Until then, we're going to keep that OnlyFans going. There's a sale right now because it's Christmas. Never mind.
$1.99. I wanted to see how far into that zit
gets your 2022 calendars.
I was ready to commit. I'm not going to lie. My butthole's already on the internet. Let's go.
Oh my goodness, that was information that I'm glad we all know now. All right, with that, should we dive into the first segment of the week?
Let's do it. News talk.
All right, so we got our first trailer for Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore. I don't know why I'm excited for this movie, but after seeing that trailer, I'm still kind of excited for that movie.
It's a pretty cool looking. I saw the trailer, not that long ago, and I was like, Fantastic Beasts, the other two movies that they've released so far, I wasn't super interested in. I saw the first one.
The first one was cool. I didn't see the second.
I really liked that first one.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was fun, but it wasn't Harry Potter, and maybe that's me just being biased. But then I didn't see the second one, and maybe I'll watch it eventually. But this definitely grabbed my attention.
I'm glad to see Dumbledore actually fucking doing something now.
Exactly. He's one of those characters.
Do jack shit and he's a bad human being.
Also, did not know Jude Law could grow a beard like that. That was a hefty beard. I thought Jude Law would kind of max out at, like, you know, some stubble and like maybe he gets like a little like a thin beard, but like, man, dude could play Santa Claus next, all right?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to rewatch the first one, finally watch the second one, and then I'll be even more excited to watch this one.
Yeah. The second one's kind of forgettable, funny enough with this one, I forgot that Mads Mikkelsen replaced Johnny Depp. So when he came on screen, I was like, "Oh shit! I forgot you're the guy now."
Yeah,
yo, Mads Mikkelsen be posting some thirst traps on the Instagram. By the way, man was sweaty as shit talking about how he was working on this movie, and people went off on that Instagram.
Was it Devin?
I don't get it personally, but like more power to y'all.
Because Devin's like his biggest fan.
People think he's very sexy.
He should have been Geralt, I think. Henry Cavill's done a great job, but I still think he should have been Geralt. But I do love me.
You think he should have been Geralt?
No, he's dead wrong. And nope.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that feels weird.
Because he looks kind of weird, you know. And he's like, kind of a weird accent. I mean,
I can see that.
I think the funniest thing of this trailer is that with Mads Mikkelsen, they did not give him the same look as Johnny Depp had in that second movie. Mm-hmm. So he looks like a normal human. So I was like, oh, so wait, they had to cover Johnny Depp up in all this crap and give him white hair and shit. And then it's just Mads Mikkelsen now.
It reminds me a lot of that one character from Game of Thrones. What's his face? I was supposed to have like the purple beard and all those bells in the beard.
He was a pretty
looking dude to begin with. And then they just made him a normal ass white dude after that. Mm-hmm. The next season, it didn't explain it. And it was like, That's a white man.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember. I can't remember what his name is, but
Roses.
And like, wasn't Grindelwald like played by somebody else for most of the first one? So like, there's a precedent for like them changing.
Yeah, it was Colin Farrell, and he was fantastic. He should have just been him the whole time.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, they have a precedent in that universe that he can change his look, which I'm assuming they'll probably do. But I like how in the universe he went from this weird looking Johnny Depp guy to just I'm just the dude in a suit now. It's fine.
It's me. It's Mads. Hey, we need kind of an odd looking guy. I'll get Mads. Yeah. Call him Mads.
Despite J.K. Rowling once again saying dumb shit on the internet, which she has done in the past 12 days. Unfortunately, she makes some pretty good shit. And I never know whether or not I want to support it or not.
Yeah, I don't know. Is she writing this one? Because
I'm not sure.
She wrote the first two.
I thought she just did the books.
No, she was writing this story as well. Yeah. So I don't know if she's involved in this or not, or if they're just like, yeah, you can sit this one out.
I will look into it, and depending on where she is, depends on whether or not I see it legally. Anywho, let's move on.
That's a good segue, because that moves into our next story. But I did want to make one point. I love how they're already finding dumb ways to cram in Fantastic Beasts into this, because that crab thing in that trailer, you know, that would not be in this movie if the title wasn't Fantastic Beasts.
Right.
And it's just real dumb. And then they are stuck in this dumb premise they have now, but whatever.
That shit was terrifying. I hated it.
Yeah, that looked kind of goofy.
But speaking of having shit and good shit, but has one person that no one likes, people want to black out and boycott this Quantic Dream Star Wars game we talked about last week.
Damn.
And,
I'm
not mad about it, because they all have good reasons, because David Cage apparently sucks. And these are allegations, but I don't know, but apparently he has a lot of bad work conduct, which we talked about last week, and how like they're all probably do. It's mostly that his shit is just out.
Is this the, the CEO at Quantum Dream?
Quantic Dream, yeah.
Interesting.
So yeah, and on Twitter, people were like, no, fuck this. Let's not make this game.
Wow.
Yeah, and I mean, I get 100% where they're coming from, and that's been a big thing. Once again, I'm the Activision Blizzard person when it comes to talking about these kind of things. And it's hard, because it's like, at one point, you don't want to support a company that does bad things, but then you also have to think about the boots on the ground when it comes to making stuff. That, like, despite what is happening at the top level, there are still people that this is their job to do what they love. And that was what kind of kept me, like, not... Because I was going to be like, fuck Activision Blizzard. I'm never going to buy a fucking Call of Duty game ever again. Like, this is ridiculous. Why would I give them my money? But it's like, if I don't give them my money and all these things happen, they're just going to fire my friends. If I do give them my money, they'll still get millions of dollars in revenue no matter what. So it's like a lose-lose situation. A big thing about capitalism is there's no ethical consumption under capitalism. You can't win. Because you have to participate in it in order to survive. So I get where they're coming from in boycotting David Cage. I do think there may be other ways to punish him. Because that's the thing. It's like, if you don't buy the game, all that's going to happen is David Cage is going to still exist there. And then all of the people at the bottom line, all the devs, are going to lose their job. You know?
Right.
And that sucks. So
I don't know. It's a tough one.
There's no winning, I guess, when it comes down to it. So I 100% would get where they're coming from. And I do think fight the good fight. And whatever is the biggest point to you, do it. I mean, if you don't want to buy the game because it feels gross to you, don't buy the game. There's no reason to. Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, also because, like, we know what the game's going to be. It's just got a different skin on it anyways.
True.
It's going to be a quick time choice-based game. So
I'm honestly, I actually got less excited. I wasn't here when you guys talked about it, but I honestly got less excited when I found out who was doing it. Like, the cinematic trailer was amazing looking. But I'd much rather play, like, an action-adventure-based Star Wars game, not like a point-and-click, like, Telltale game style.
That is a question I had watched after finding out who made it. It's like, how are lightsabers going to work? Like, is it a quick time event lightsaber?
Say, you know exactly how they're going to work. You're going to press square, triangle, circle.
And that sucks, you know?
I don't mind it, but I'm also very different when it comes to it. Story can be very heavy for me personally when it comes 100%. To gaming. I do think that it does have its place. It is unfortunate in this particular, like, place. Like,
Star Wars
is Star
just
Wars.
Too fun to not let me play with a lightsaber. Like,
exactly, but also, I mean... Yeah. I played Knights of the Old Republic, what you do with the lightsaber is probably pretty negligible when it comes down to the thing, because you're just going to press a button and you wait for him to do it. So maybe that's me being a little biased towards those kind of games. Like, my favorite Star Wars games are not action adventure games. They're RPGs with Dungeons and Dragons rules. You know what I mean?
Counterpoint though, bro. Counterpoint, Battlefront 2, the original Battlefront 2.
That is
true.
Where
you could literally jump 5 times in the air and fly.
Yeah.
That was super fun.
That's what I want. I want to be able to throw my lightsaber through like 5 stormtroopers and then have it come back to me through 5 more stormtroopers. And then, like,
even in the newest Battlefront, I love playing Yoda because it's just funny seeing this little man flip around and cut all these people to bits. But yeah, I get both aspects. For me, I just want a really good, enriching story. And I feel like we haven't gotten that in a long time.
I can agree with that for sure. But I feel like the turn-based RPG is like as slow as my action needs to be.
Yeah, I can understand both sides of the argument for sure. So we'll see what happens with it. David Cage should leave. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
There's no rhyme or reason
for him.
Yeah, he won't.
He should.
But there's no... Yeah, he should leave.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right. So next up, Disney Plus is apparently making a Zorro Disney Plus series, but with a telenovela style twist to it.
Can't
which
wait.
I'm both excited and scared for.
I'm all in.
Also, Wilmer Valderrama is going to be Zorro. He played Fez in that 70s show.
Hell
10
yeah,
out of 10
dude.
Will watch this show.
He'll be perfect.
I don't
for
know
that
if
too.
It's going to be good, but I guarantee it'll be entertainment.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So is it going to be kind of like goofy, like a comedy almost? Or is it
that was my
like...
question. Is it going to be taken seriously? Because just thinking of
who
he is.
That's a good question. I feel like it would have to be not taking itself too seriously and be a little bit funny.
Right, right.
But I just hope it's not too goofy.
Yes.
It can't be like middling bad goofy. It's got to either be like super camp goofy or just don't do it.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. I think go full camp or
because like
do
telenovelas
it.
Are in a sense already goofy because they're so dramatic.
They're
if
so
they're
bumpers.
Going like super exactly. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't
there's
know
a really good
work.
Show called Jane the Virgin that borders mm-hmm. the line really really well that I would love to see done in other shows that I hope.
Right.
Is the similar tone that Zorro takes. If anybody hasn't seen it, it's like a modern story about a woman who gets pregnant and then they have the baby and this and that. And there's like all this like romance drama. And it's a funny show, but it's told in a telenovela style where there's like a narrator and all these dramatic things happen. People die. They come back to life. People get slapped in the face. Very like cliche telenovela soap opera like tropes happen. But all told in like a right. modern setting. But the storytelling is very telenovela. And it's really funny and it makes fun of itself and doesn't take itself too seriously. We'll see. Hopefully it's similar to that. I don't know.
Yeah. Just as soon as you say Fez, I'm like,
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be a satire on telenovelas. And that's, I feel like that's not doing justice to the genre.
And definitely don't take it too seriously.
I guess a tasteful satire, I think, would be appropriate. But as long as it's like, you know, handled like out of love, I think.
Exactly.
I mean, it's Disney's handling it, so they're either handling it with care or it's going to be a weird cash grab. I don't know.
We should see who's making it, and then that might help us out.
If they water it down, like we talked about with the last, like the Disney stuff or the live adaptation stuff, like if you water it down, like you have to lean fully into the telenovela aspect
just
of
lean
it
in.
Personally.
Lean in mm-hmm. and handle with love, and I'd be all about it. I'm excited.
And then I
to
think
see
I'll be. Yeah, we'll mm-hmm. see what happens.
Yeah. Next, Brian, this one's going to be most important to you, seeing as how you own a Tesla and also love Sonic.
He's a huge Elon Musk fan. Ain't that right?
I own a Mazda 6.
Well, if you owned a Tesla, you're going to be able to play Sonic is what they announced that Sonic the Hedgehog is going to their in-car gaming
system.
Yes, because
when I get my Tesla, I need to make sure that I can play Sonic.
I'm at the dealership right now.
While I'm charging up.
I'm at the dealership, 80K in my hand, cash, just a wad of all ones in my hand right now, in like a weird like knapsack. And I'm like, can you play Sonic on this shit? They tell me no. I leave. I'm out of there. Fuck this shit. There's no way I'm buying a fucking Tesla. I can't play Sonic. Are you kidding me? I want to be driving, going 95 miles per hour on the highway right now, and mm-hmm. also fucking jumping through Emerald Coast Road at the same time. And you tell me I can't do
Sounds
that?
Very
no
safe.
Way.
Nice thing about Sonic is you can do that because it drives itself.
It drives itself. Does it notice that humans exist? No, it does not. And it does kill them. But it's not my fault because AI.
There's only one way I want to go out of this world. It's crashing into a semi-truck while playing Sonic Adventure in my Tesla.
No, I mean, that's...
But Devin, what if instead, because there's more games that are in the service, would you rather instead of that, crash a Tesla and die while playing The Witcher 3 because you could also do that instead.
Oh, interesting.
Can you actually do that? What?
Yeah, Cuphead and The Witcher 3 are apparently other games that
so
are
Cuphead,
in that lineup.
So Cuphead, Witcher 3, and Sonic are the three launch titles for the new Tesla console?
Are they just like picking random
car?
Games that they like?
This is weird.
It feels like this has a full capability of any console, so they're just picking very specific games.
They're just picking
they like.
Elon's favorite games.
You're probably
all you
not
need to
wrong.
Do is plug in a USB controller and you can play.
Wow.
Holy
well, guys,
shit, dude.
You know what they should do? You know that would be great. The game that would be the best for any car, right? You know, you already know what it is.
Shut up.
Endless
don't do
fun.
It.
Don't anyway, do let's it. Move on to the
all
next
right.
topic.
All right. Anyways,
Rocket League would be perfect.
I feel like if they put Rocket League in there, it would inspire them to like do that with their own vehicle. Like, I want to play this in real life and then just wreck their cars.
Elon Musk is like driving. He's like, why can't our cars fly and double jump? This is ridiculous.
I'm just saying that you should have local voice chat from Tesla to Tesla if they do competitive games like that.
Oh, that I was be literally going to talk shit.
Oh my gosh. Mario Kart?
Oh shit. I was literally going to say they're going to start making parking lots where people can park their Teslas and play games. Yep. That's the next arcade. Yeah. Is it just Tesla an empty arcade. Barren parking lot? Wow.
I mean, hey, you know, you need something to do while the Tesla battery's charging, right?
This is true.
Yeah, it's our future.
So, you know, you got to have a game.
I hate it here.
All right, enough of that. We're going to scoot on out. Last story. Because, as you can see from the title, we're going to be talking about some live-action adaptations. Netflix is apparently making a Mega Man live-action adaptation. So this is probably going to be really, really bad.
They don't learn, do they? We saw Death Note, and that shit flopped. We saw Cowboy Bebop, and that shit flopped.
What's the story to Mega Man?
There is no story. Dr. Wily is a bad person in the end.
We have Astro Boy already. That's
I'm excited to see his origin story. Was he ever a real boy? Do we know his origin story?
I think he was Siri.
Was he a puppet?
I think he started as a Tesla and then became
as a Transformer.
I feel really bad because I do have a friend that listens to this podcast, and he'll listen to this as well. Shout out to Ken. And he is a Mega Man fanatic, and he's beaten every single game known to man, 100% at every single game.
I hear those games are amazing. I have no problems with Ken. What's up, Ken? Sounds great.
If there is an origin story, he knows it, and we are currently being disrespectful.
We're fucking it up.
Yeah, we are being so disrespectful to the story right now.
I would put $20 to say that there is no origin story. He's just a fucking boy with a robot.
I'm pretty sure there's a game that's called Mega Man Origins.
No,
I'm pretty sure it came out for N64.
Moving on.
No, there's not.
Hey, everybody's got origins, right? Every video game franchise has
You're right,
origin.
You're right.
I just want to know, Who are they gonna cast as Mega Man?
Chris Pine.
Chris Pratt.
Oh, Chris Pratt. That's
Chris Pratt.
Oh my god.
Both
it's
of those
live
are
action,
terrible.
But it's still Chris Pratt.
Yeah. I feel like I don't know. Netflix should just stop this. I mean, it's our topic today, but dear Lord, just stop with the live adaptations. They suck.
I mean, I don't think Netflix is the appropriate company to be handling them. Personally, I think that the way they put their budget into different things is just it just doesn't work well. They either do micro budget, or they do the other side of the fence where they pick one A-list actor to grab people into the movie and then micro-budget again. Like, so either you get nothing or you get Will Smith and nothing.
And he gets all the money.
Right, exactly. And it's like, none of those are in good faith to the movie, I don't know, or the show that they make, so.
Oh, Will Smith should be Mega Man.
Could you imagine?
Yo, I'd be down for a black Mega Man.
I'm thinking of, like, Mega Man is, like, the same thing as, like, Speed Racer. Like, is that, it's not the
no,
same
No, Devin.
Thing. But I'm just like combining them.
It's not the same thing.
I mean, it's a little boy with a dinky helmet. That's about it. The same thing.
I think that's probably why, where the similarities stop.
And kind of maybe similar art style. Maybe they're both kind of like, you know, like bulbous. Like, you know, isn't Mega Man like, he's kind of like bulky.
He's like 3 inches tall.
I think Mega Man's a little more cartoony, which is a pretty terrible description, but I feel like Speed Racer's more anime, realistic. Mega Man's more cartoony, bubbly.
Of these two cartoons, this one's more cartoony.
I mean, honestly, if Pixar were to make a 2D show, it would look like Mega Man.
Yeah, no, but I feel like there's a certain genre of like sci-fi, right, where they're like the spacesuits are kind of like bulbous, kind of like, you know, and Mega Man's like that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the thing. I see where you're coming from. I say Astro Boy is probably the closest thing to Mega Man now.
Yeah.
Like
Astro Boy has already
existed and done well. So to do a Mega Man version, either you're going to try to copy off of that or you're going to do poorly. I don't think it's another choice. I don't know. I'm not interested personally. I'll watch it for the culture, but I'm not. I don't think it's going to do well.
No. Probably not.
They should cancel it.
I think it's going to be one of those ones where I just like see the trailer as it auto plays on Netflix and I'm just like, let it go for like 5 minutes.
I mean, I guess the only positive I would say is at least it's a movie, not a show.
Yes.
That is good.
That is good. 2 hours of your life that you lose compared to 8, you know?
Right.
True.
Well, 8 hours and then it's canceled after a first season.
You know who it's going to be? It's going to be Timothy Chalamet, dude. This is like the decade of Timothy Chalamet.
Honestly, that's not a bad choice, and I hate that.
Oh no!
That pretty face, dude. That just that beautiful, gorgeous man is gonna. Well, that gorgeous boy is gonna be Mega Man.
I want that jawline.
Yeah,
don't we all? You know, these media companies should really check out this podcast. I feel
we got a lot of good ideas.
This is what the people want. Just tune in every week. and follow our instructions, guys.
We are giving you ideas for free. I'm a consultant, and we are fucking selling this shit. And you're telling me that you're not listening to this podcast?
Oh,
come
man.
On now. Fuck a blockchain.
It's only a matter of time until there's a movie with Timothy Chalamet, Chris Pratt, and The Rock. Like a triple buddy cop movie.
No, it's gonna happen.
No, it's gotta be Timothy Chalamet, Zac Efron, and Tom Holland.
And Zendaya somewhere.
And Zendaya. Just throw her in there.
And Zendaya.
She'll have two scenes and she'll make $1 million.
Oh, Zendaya with Tom Holland and Timothy. Wow.
Yeah.
Love triangle.
Love quadrangle. She's also in The Greatest Showman with Zac Efron.
That's
the point.
He might be 48, but that love story.
He might be a million years old.
They really do pair her off with all the like beautiful white dudes, like the dainty white dudes.
Yeah. You got to type.
All right. I think that's about it. Let's move on to our main topic of the week. But first, we're trapped in another fortress. It's a fortress that is filled with mostly a lot of trash garbage, but with a couple good gems in there. It looks like a fortress that's based off something that's usually an anime, which is why they're all garbage, because it looks like we're in the fortress of
live action adaptation.
The remakes.
It's not just anime.
The things that were made, and now we're making them again.
In a different form of media.
The redos.
Or sometimes the same, but worse. Yeah.
That's what it should be called. Things that are the same but usually worse. Yes, listeners, we're doing live action adaptations. We're in that fortress this week, and so we're going to be talking about a lot of different kinds of genres and stuff, because a live action adaptation can kind of be a lot of different things. I mostly picked out ones that were based off of cartoons or animes, just because a book adaptation, like, for example, like a Harry Potter, that to me is just a regular adaptation. Technically, it is a live-action adaptation, but you would also just call it a regular one because there hasn't been any other kind of adaptation of it, whereas a Lion King remake is very much a live-action adaptation because it's based off of...
There's definitely been, like, a resurgence of quote-unquote live-action adaptations in the past, like, 5 years.
Right, because the Lion King remake is not live action at all.
Right, but they call it live action. Sure. Even though there's not a single
It's just a different cartoon.
Right, in the world.
Very true.
Oh my gosh, makes no sense.
So, so we're going to go through those.
Yeah, I think it is important. We don't have to talk about it, like, the whole time, but I do think it is important to at least note that movie adaptations and show adaptations from books is an interesting concept that a lot of people do find kind of controversial, usually because how do you turn... 1,000 pages of a Tolkien book to one movie, and stuff like that. And
or 300 pages of a Tolkien book
into
3 movies.
It's about some little people, man. It doesn't matter. It's not that serious. Yeah. So that's all I want to note about that, potentially. But other than that, I think we should talk mostly about cartoons, the superior version of media. Hot take.
Whoa.
We'll get into it because I think we're going to get some good and some bad ones. I think we're just going to name them off and then we'll talk about them. This should be fun because there's definitely a lot. I linked in a Wikipedia link and there are millions of adaptations, a lot more than I remembered. So I was like, oh shit, I forgot about half of these movies. So I'll start with a good one. I'll go with one good one. And to me, that is the first Scooby-Doo live-action movie. Not the second one, but that very first one. It's 100% camp, but I love it.
Wow, starting off with a
That's
banger.
The one with, like, Freddie Prinze Jr. and stuff, right?
Yes.
Oh, God. Yeah, it is really
Freddie Prinze Jr., Sarah Michelle Gellar is Daphne, Linda Cardellini is Velma, and then, what's his name? Who's Shaggy?
Oh, he is the best Shaggy to
date. I feel bad for forgetting his name, because he started voice acting for
Fred. Fred Willard?
Something like that.
Something like that.
That's so disrespectful.
He's probably the best casting out of all of them, is him as Shaggy.
Yeah.
Which is why he was so hurt when they remade it again, and then use him, because he's been actually the voice actor for the show for a long time. After being the live action actor, and then they took him
and
replaced
him
with,
like, he was so good that they actually got him to do that role in the cartoons.
Right. And then replaced him with, like, some A-list actor that was disrespectful in the most recent movie, which was a weird thing where they went back from live action to animation again, but they went for the CG
route. CG looks.
Yeah, it looks very
it's not the same.
Bad.
Yeah. No, I love that movie because it's 100% camp, like, and that cartoon is pretty campy because it's a kid's cartoon, you know what I mean? But it's got the mask reveals. It's got the who the villain is, the switcheroos where you think it's one villain, not, but it's actually another villain. Probably the weakest part is probably the Scooby-Doo actual CG of it all. But it's not like horrible.
And the movie's also pretty old. I'm sure the budget wasn't crazy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right, exactly.
Yeah, I think the characterization was probably the best part about that and the strongest part about it. I think if they had picked any other actors to play those roles, it would have not been as successful as it was. Because I don't think the movie was, I'm not going to say it wasn't made in like good faith or anything like that, but I don't think they were expecting it to be the gem on their hands the way that it turned out to be. And probably, I don't know if it's considered a classic, but definitely a cult classic. I think people love that movie.
I think cult classic is accurate. That movie was phenomenal. The sequel is actually pretty good too, but the first one, great. Great stuff.
Yeah. I don't remember the sequel as much because I remember not liking it as much. So I haven't really gone back and watched it.
Yeah.
But I should, because I like that first one so much. Funny enough, that movie is written by James Gunn, who wanted to do the Guardians of the Galaxy and the Suicide Squad.
Nice. Nice.
Gosh. I was like, oh, that all makes sense. So funny.
I'm surprised he didn't put any super offensive jokes in there that were, well, there probably were some offensive jokes, but not anything.
I mean, there's some definitely some weird, like, weird sexism, I feel, shit in there with, like, making Daphne hot or whatever in that movie by changing her outfit and stuff. It's definitely, like, it's a weird, like, adult kids movie where it's, like, you go back and watch it as an adult and it's, like, oh, there's a lot more... like subtext in some of these jokes.
Is the first one the one where they make the marijuana joke with the girl named Mary Jane that he sits next to in the airplane? Yeah, like stuff like that. Like
yep.
Very peak James Gunn.
Like early 2000s comedy to its core.
Would you say that makes a lot of sense now that you have brought that up?
Exactly, right?
What I like about this movie personally is just its ability to... because we live in a world where live action adaptations have to be like a more... grounded, realistic take on things, it feels like, especially from cartoons. This was exactly what it was supposed to be, and it's a cartoon. It's supposed to be silly, goofy, funny, still made the goofy noises when bad things happen, like all that kind of stuff where it just like it felt whimsical. And that's fine. It doesn't have to be fucking Daredevil season 3 of, you know what I mean? Like it can just be Scooby-Doo and the gang fucking shit up, right. And that's it.
This is before like The Dark Knight made everything have to be dark and gritty and grounded. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
who's got another one, good or bad or middling, whatever.
You know, speaking of, I think you said something just now about Batman. I think the most recent Batman trilogy, maybe not the newest like Batman v Superman, but the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy, I'd argue that's a pretty great live action reimagining adaptation. I guess it's based more so on the comic books, which are a lot denser than like say a cartoon show or an anime. Not knocking on either of those subjects, but I guess that counts as a live action adaptation.
I would say it does. I will give it to you because the difference for me between like some of these adaptations and like a Harry Potter or like a Lord of the Rings type of thing is that those mostly went off of just straight up book descriptions. Like they just had words. No, there were no art. There's no pictures of what the world looked like. So they had to kind of create it on their own. Whereas like with the Nolan trilogy, they have all of these sort resources of what Batman looks like, what the Joker looks like, what this world looks like. So it's like, that one, I would say, yeah, those can be considered live action adaptations, kind of like how anime and cartoons and stuff like work, because they already had a world. They knew what it looked like. So, yeah, but absolutely. The Dark Knight is still probably one of the best comic movies of all time. And I would even put Batman Begins up there as well. It's phenomenal. The third
I guess,
one, not
I guess
as
all
much.
The all the Marvel movies and everything that's like becoming super trendy and popular right now would all all kind of adaptations.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Especially the ones like that are actual like comic book storylines. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that was an easy like softball, I feel like, to get into the whole superhero aspect of things. People like superheroes. People like people that are strong and better than everyone else, and it's really easy to just make a I mean, have you not heard about how fucking Zack Snyder talks about the superheroes in those movies? It's so weird.
It's true.
It's like he's jacking off to him. I don't like it. It makes me feel really uncomfortable.
I just imagine they're all going around like, I'm better than you, I'm better than you, and you suck, and I'm better than you and your mama.
Watch The Boys if you want a feeling of that. No spoilers, but
I know, right? I should I need to.
That would definitely give you that feeling.
Okay, well, I guess aside from superhero movies, which is, you're right, an easy target, what other great live action adaptations are there out there? There's got to be something.
I feel bad for, because this is kind of the same with you. It's kind of pulling from a comic or graphic novel, at least. But this is one that's been pretty like high praise that they made a video game too, whatever. But Scott Pilgrim versus the World with our best friend, what's his face? The guy that's really awkward.
Michael Cera.
Oh yeah, best friends. He's so best friends.
Not a human that I can't even remember his name.
He is very alien-like, isn't he?
he is exactly what you expect to come into Hollywood when you actually think about what it takes to get to be an actor in on a silver screen. And that's someone that went to school to be in a play and then somehow managed to become an A-list actor, just an introverted nerd that's into, you know, Broadway and, you know, she's like, no offense, Oscar, of course.
Yeah, that's all right.
But it's like, that's what you think of. It's so weird seeing such charismatic people and these figureheads in the scene when it's like, this dude got a degree in theater. Like, how the fuck is he, you know?
I didn't know that, to be honest, so that's funny.
Right. And so to see Michael Cera, it's like, that's exactly what I expect. As someone that also kind of like grew up in the theater scene a little bit, those are the kinds of people that I met growing up.
He's a theater nerd?
Yeah. That's the kind of kids that they looked like him, just skinny, scrawny white dudes that were kind of awkward. Like, but yeah, Scott Pilgrim's apparently, I didn't actually read the graphic novel itself, but I did end up watching the movie, and I think the movie really held true to what I know of the lore of the comic itself. And then it also just was really good at, it was just a really good movie. The editing is super interesting. They kind of edited to make it feel like a video game / comic book. And I don't know. I think that movie is brilliant. Chris Evans is in there randomly.
There's a lot of people. Chris Evans is in there. Brandon Routh, who was Superman at one point in there. So you got Captain America and Superman in there. What's her name? The main lead actor, Mary Elizabeth Winstead. She's in it. She's great. As a girl who changes her hair every 30 seconds. that is a fantastic movie. It's so good.
Aubrey Plaza was in there. I forgot about that too. And what's her face? Yeah. Anna Kendrick.
Oh, yeah. She's in that. Macaulay Culkin's brother, whose name I don't remember, is in that. That is a fantastic movie. It's got all the cool like video game stuff with like, whenever you kill someone, they burst into coins and he gets points and stuff.
Yeah, for me personally, I just really love editing. Like, I just love seeing the way that people do things and like a really, I don't know, that kind of stuff is really cool to me, especially like motion graphics and things like that. So that's a movie that I can rewatch.
Edgar Wright is like the master at that, I feel. Who directed the movie. He's really so good at it.
Yeah, I just love the way that movie hits.
Yeah, his stuff always has really great editing that helps push the story forward in really, really groundbreaking ways, I would say. Mm-hmm. But that one has like so many awesome special effects, which makes it really cool too. It hits on a lot of notes.
Yeah, and the music is good.
And because we're talking about adaptations, it's pretty faithful to the source material that it's based on, that I know of. Mm-hmm. I haven't read it either, but I played that Scott Pilgrim video game and I know a little bit about it, but yeah. So it seems like it's pretty faithful to what it's adapting.
I think most people's biggest gripe was Michael Cera himself. Apparently the main character is not supposed to be quite so awkward. But I don't think that's his detriment at all.
Ooh, speaking of movies that were based on somewhat video games, did anybody watch the amazing film Super Mario Brothers?
Shut the fuck up.
we're putting that good adaptations, huh?
It was before the what's his name? Chris Pine. That's not him. The guy that's playing Mario now.
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. There's so many Chris's.
It paved the way for Chris Pratt to be Mario.
Yeah, man. This movie, I remember going to Blockbuster with my family, seeing this movie and being so excited to see this when I got home. I feel like that 15-minute drive was the longest wait time of my entire life. I pop in that VHS, rewind it after seeing the credits, and then I'm so excited on the edge of my seat, ready for an amazing film, and was completely disappointed.
Oh, no.
No, oh, no. Very, you weren't. That movie's great. I love that movie.
Oh, you like it? You would like it. I was joking earlier. It was very not good. That's hilarious.
No. I'm not saying it's good, but I'm saying as a kid, I did really enjoy that movie. Talked to Oscar about that. I feel like a few days ago.
So gross. If they live in just a disgusting world.
Yeah, it really
it's like so
out.
Grimy and... What is wrong with this city? It's disgusting.
I remember when Yoshi dystopian. Pops out. He looks like Yoshi looks like a complete monster. He's all disheveled.
It's like
got
a dents weird
in
raptor.
Oh my goodness. Even the color of him was like puke throw up green instead of like lime green.
It's so gross. It's just such a gross world. And the Goombas are like these weird bodybuilder guys with these little ass heads, and it's just so weird.
That movie kind of felt stuff. Like if you like read like an excerpt of what Mario was about and then explained it to somebody else through a walkie-talkie with batteries dying. Like, I don't understand how the fuck they got any of what they got in that movie from what Mario has ever been. I know, like, this is back when they were still, like, you know, what was this, the 80s, where they were still just little sprites and stuff. We hadn't gotten Super Mario 64 or anything like that yet. But it's like, we knew what they kind of look like, bro. Like, I don't understand.
My favorite, I think probably my favorite thing is that their names are Mario Mario and my brother, Luigi Mario. Like, what?
I mean, they are the Mario brothers. That would make sense that it's their last name.
It's so insane. It's such insanity, when man.
You know that you would be pissed off if you and Jackie, and they were like, yo, we're the Jackie brothers, the Jackie siblings. And it's like,
the Jackie siblings.
Like, what the fuck? No, we're not. That's not my name.
Yeah, right. poor Luigi.
Played by John Leguizamo, who is funny in like real life. But like, I wanted like what the paycheck was for these guys. Because apparently like it was a horrible filming process, and like the directors didn't know what the fuck they were doing, and they were like, just it was terrible from what I've read up on, because this movie is fascinating that it came to existence.
That sucks even more that it's like actually was a filming nightmare as well. Like, it wasn't even fun to film and it was a piece of dick.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, what makes me mad is the fact that the Chris Pratt Mario, no matter how atrocious it's gonna be, and
it's gonna be atrocious,
it's going to be better than that Mario movie no matter what. And that sucks to me.
Yeah. It's got That's a really sad. Low bar.
That's pretty sad to know. Yeah, the bar is just too low.
Someone would have to die in that Mario Kids movie, the cartoon, for it to be worse than that other old movie. Like, something that tragic would have to happen.
Oh, no.
Yoshi eats
Mario. I thought we were talking about other good movies, and now you got me thinking about other bad movies and bad just adaptations.
Let's get on to the good movies. Another one just popped in my mind, actually. This one's I feel like another cult classic, but I haven't seen it since I was a kid. It's The Flintstones.
That's what I had on my list, too.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
The first Flintstones? I actually really enjoy that movie with freaking John Goodman. Ugh, it's so fun. It's so good.
He's such a friend. He's such a friend.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I noticed you guys are picking a very specific like time frame. This is like a very early 2000s thing where it seems like all these movies tend to click pretty well.
I mean, also granted, I haven't rewatched them in a long time, so I might still have nostalgia kid goggles on them. So
this one came out in like the 90s, I think, though.
Yeah, this one was like somewhere in the 90s.
Not early in the 90s. I don't know why I felt like that was like 98 to 2003, something like that. Maybe I'm wrong.
98 sounds right. But I just love that the world is so like pretty accurate, where like the money is like dinosaur bones or whatever. I just remember there's that scene where he's like got the whole building planned out in like a little mini city, and I just remember it looks so cool and looks so fun to play with as a kid. And there's I think a scene where he like just completely trashes it around, and it's just so satisfying.
Does not agree with you on this movie being good.
I told you. I'm not surprised.
Cult classic doesn't have
one movie
the best
was made
ratings.
In 94. I mean, it made 300 something million, and I'm sure it didn't cost that much to make in the grand scheme of things. So it definitely did well. But yeah, that shit got a hot 20%.
Those costumes, bro, on point.
Yeah, I mean, they nailed the aesthetic of the whole franchise universe like perfectly. Like, it was great.
I'm waiting for the Jetsons.
I'm surprised we ever get a Jetsons. I don't know why. I feel like I saw like some kind of live action special. It might not have been a movie, but it might have been something.
I don't know about live action. I feel like there's probably been like a cartoon movie.
Yeah, there's
point.
A cartoon collab back in the Disney. That was great.
I got another one. This is a good one. I don't know if you guys will remember this one at all. Do you guys remember Josie and the Pussycats?
I sure do.
Movie is so
movie?
Fun. That was like one of those go-to movies, because I grew up with an older sister, so she loved that movie, so I watched whatever she watched. And Josie and the Pussycats was one of those movies that we would watch all the time growing up, because it's like that weird, like, it's like a kid's movie, but it's like a young adult movie almost. It's kind of like a Bring It On type of shit, where it's all angst and there's a lot of kind of adult jokes, so you feel like an adult watching it as a kid sometimes.
Yeah, definitely some preteen-esque, somewhere 12 to 15 probably.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, it's probably so fun. That makes sense.
I'm pretty sure because like it's all about them, like they're an all-girl band, and so it's like what would that look like in the modern day. So it's like they have like a rivalry with their studio, and it's like they're brainwashing the teens to make them like them, and they don't actually like the music they're making. And it's so like early 2000s. It's amazing.
I mean, early, that sounds like YouTube right now, bro.
That sounds like that sounds like the Cheetah Girls.
That's fair enough.
I saw the Cheetah Girls. It sounds
yeah,
similar.
Cheetah Girls. That's
fair
enough. Cheetah
Girls totally stole that. That was 100%.
Did they have the shark playing the drums in the movie?
No, they did not. Rosario Dawson played the drums.
That's the only thing about the cartoon that I remember, that they had a shark that could speak and play drums. Word. I think he was the drummer. I don't know. Maybe he was slapping that bass.
To be honest.
Somehow that feels racist to me. I don't know.
A shark?
Why you got the shark on the bass? Yeah,
I don't know.
Somehow put the shark on the bass. It doesn't sit right with me.
That's racist. Sharks can't play bass. That's I don't know.
Sharks are clearly keyboardists.
All right, come on, man. Let the band sing.
All those teeth.
He surfed the crowd though. That'd be good.
That is true.
Hey, that was boo.
Bang bang.
Got him.
Get him off the stage, boo.
All right, who's got another one? Let's move on from that one.
Damn, I don't know if I have another. I'm trying to think of other good ones though, and suddenly I'm drawing a blank. I know so many bad ones.
I mean, you can name a bad one. We can go back and forth. I got a bunch of good ones though. But
let me name a bad one then. A bad one. As a lover of anime and a long fan of the Dragon Ball series. Was probably the most disrespectful addition to Dragon Ball ever.
No.
With Dragon Ball,
we don't have to call
Evolution.
It an addition.
it was definitely subtraction. It definitely subtracted from the world by existing.
I saw this in theaters. I paid good money to see this.
You didn't.
We both did. That's so
I knew it was going to be bad too. That's the thing. I was like, I feel like this is going to be terrible, but I have to see it anyway. I don't know why.
The cover was two white people and then a dude in green face paint on the cover. Like, we should have known better. Like, that
which
was
is funny because I think the dude in the green face paint, James Marsters, is probably the best part of that movie.
That's not what Piccolo was like.
Everyone
though.
Else is just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but that movie was so comically bad that the director, who claims he's a really big Dragon Ball fan, I believe he's a black dude, had to come out and apologize and say that he feels bad for ever creating this movie because it was just such poor fate that this movie was created. The cast on that movie went on to be casted in Shameless,
very
popular
so
show right now.
Wow.
Which is really weird, including the main character Goku. Somehow they picked that motherfucker to play Goku.
Yeah, let's get to the obvious. Goku's white, as is most people in this movie.
Yeah, Bulma, also white, played by God, what's her face? I can't think of her name.
Oh, I know who you're talking
about. Emmy Rossum.
Yeah,
played by her. Piccolo. I can't remember the other people that were even. Movie's
his
bad.
Hair is just, his hair needs to be bigger. He just needs bigger hair.
That's
the bigger problem. He's fine being white. It's his hair. No.
My problem is it's not even I don't even think anime is a good place to take at least not that kind of movie from a live action adaptation in such a whimsical world. It's so
right.
Goofy.
Especially with adapting a thing like Dragon Ball where it's like, you're there for the fighting. You know?
I would say it's a shonen anime, which means the anime that's mainly about fighting is not so much about the story or anything like that. It's like you're there to watch someone power up, fight somebody, believe in their heart, and then win. And you beat the bad guy. Like that's what happens at every single. Why would you want to make a movie about that? But my biggest criticism on these kind of things is it's like you're kind of limiting yourself because one of the great things about animation is that you can do whatever the fuck you want. If you want someone to pile drive someone through 18 planets and then uppercut them and their face falls off and they pick it back up, put it back on, and then punch you, you can do that.
Right,
if you want to do
right.
that in a movie, it's going to cost you $18 million just for that one scene.
Yeah.
So that's where it's like it's limited because you can't get the same good shots as you can in animation because you can't, you actually have to get real life shots. You can't cheese it with animation. You can't get the same cool effects because it's going to cost you millions of dollars more. Just like everything is just lesser. When you put it into this form, and I thought they were learning to stop doing this because we've had a lot of really good animated movies come out in the big screen over the past few years with the Dragon Ball Super. Just made a movie with Broly. Demon Slayer put out a movie. What's another one? My Hero Academia. Those movies did amazingly because it's just the show, but they took more time on the animation. Don't put a white kid in a wig with big hair and then think that's going to be a good movie because it's not.
But Brian, he turned into a monkey at the end.
It looks like I've seen YouTubers do better work. That's the thing. Like these people had a budget, probably a $50 million budget, and they did about as good as what somebody with Adobe After Effects CS3 probably could do.
That's pretty damn bad.
I've given up on live action Dragon Ball Z. I used to think that I wanted it, but I don't think we need it. I think you're right that,
we
know,
don't.
just do great with what the medium is. Just make that great. Cause
yeah, I still think that like with the right person and the right crew, anything is possible. But maybe not for this one. I don't know.
You are very optimistic, my friend, because I disagree very hard.
Because I feel like we've had a lot of things where it's like we never thought that they could be able to make, like a Dark Knight. No one thought that Batman could be that, and then it's happened. Like we've seen things happen where like holy shit, I can't believe this worked out. Look at half of the Marvel stuff. It's like I can't believe they made these goofy ass concepts work on an actual. level.
They should have put the Thanos copy.
You know what? Yeah, you're right. I feel like if Edgar Wright or James Gunn did Dragon Ball Z, then I would sign up.
Yeah, mm. you just need someone who's got the creative juice and also like the passion behind it.
I feel like Scott Pilgrim is the best version of live action Dragon Ball Z. Like that's as close as we can get.
Yeah. I don't deny it. I think the best thing they could probably do is if they go closer to either Dragon Ball era completely where Goku's a kid, or go to like right in the beginning of Dragon Ball Z where no one's, you know, planet destroying strong yet. I think when you can do that, you can get more into like the culture, the Japanese aspect of it, things like that. Kind of akin to Avatar, which is another movie we can talk about that was fumbled. There's a lot of like cool lore in there that you can kind of play with that maybe that could be cool. And it'd be like a different representation of the same thing. Not everyone has to be shooting energy balls and powering up and, you know, that doesn't have to, or be painted green poorly. So maybe you guys might be selling me. I don't know why, because we just watched the anime.
Because we have the money. We're going to make it.
Please, if you guys do, I will direct everything I can.
We're casting it. You're going to be Krillin because you're bald.
We're probably about the same height, to be fair. I would love Krillin to be black. I think that'd be hilarious.
But so you brought it up. Let's get to the other big one of The Last Airbender. Man, I saw this is a movie I saw in theaters and was so disappointed when I walked out.
I ain't even touched that one.
Ugh, I was so fucking hyped for that movie going into the theaters and just coming out and being like, this is just so bad and boring. And
now this sucks because this is something that I can think could do well as live action because it's already a fairly grounded show. Like it's not super fantastical to the point where everything's unbelievable. It's very deep in you know, Asian cultures and fighting styles and different martial arts and stuff like that, that it could really be a very strong show if it's live action or movie. This wasn't made in good faith. They didn't respect the source material when they made this movie.
Well, I've talked about the whole thing where M. Night Shyamalan said, oh, we're changing his name's pronunciation to Ong to respect the culture, yet we're going to cast a white kid and white kids in all of these main roles. It's like, what are you fucking talking about?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Your name's M. Night Shyamalan? What the fuck?
I don't understand. How can you be a person of color and then still fumble that badly?
They're doing a second pass, though. They're trying to make a TV show? Or
it's a Netflix show.
Netflix TV show.
Which could go one of two ways.
We'll see what happens.
The creators walked off of it.
Oh, really?
Damn. Because they've had creative differences.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's already a failsy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know.
That's like them making Game of Thrones and George R. R. Martin be like, nah, guys, this is fucked up. Like, I gotta leave.
But it's like, you're right. It has such potential. It's just like, even the visual effects in that movie, I remember there's a one part where they're in like a fight and there's some Earth Kingdom people fighting. And this dude does like 87 different moves with his arms. And then a really slow rock moves past him. And that's all that happens. I was like, what is going on?
Wow.
What is happening?
It's another one of those situations where I'm pretty sure you can get three dudes on YouTube, give them $800 budget. They probably do better. Give you something better.
It's just like, and like there's decent parts in this movie. I thought the casting of what's his name from Slumdog Millionaire, he was recently in The Green Knight, and Dev Patel as Zuko, I thought that was good casting, and I thought he was probably the strongest person in this actual movie.
That was another one where I think that as an actor he did way better than probably what he was supposed to for the role,
right? Yeah, very much so. I don't know, we'll see when Netflix gets their hands in it and see how it turns out. I'm hoping, I mean, it might be like a Mario Brothers situation where it's just got a low bar, so it's gotta be better.
Anything would be better. Yeah,
right.
Here's one I just remembered that I never saw. Did anybody see the Speed Racer movie?
No, that was on my list as a bad one. That's though.
Yeah, I didn't hear that it did too.
But I was super excited to see it because I love Matrix. I love the Wachowski siblings. But the trailers looked pretty amazing, but the reviews said otherwise.
Yeah, I heard visually it's pretty cool, but I just heard not good things about everything else.
That's a bummer.
I do want to go back, but I'm just like, do I really want to go back?
Yeah, it might be fun to watch knowing that it's not substantial story-wise, but just visually, I think it'd be exciting.
Right.
I don't know Speed Racer's story, and I've watched a lot of the cartoon.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. Right? He races, and he wins most of the time.
He's got a pet monkey, I think.
Is Speed Racer considered an anime?
It is an anime, yeah.
That's what I said. It's one of those things that, like, we were so young, we didn't think about it as anime, but I'm pretty sure it was Japanese before.
Does it have to be Japanese to be an anime? That's my question.
Yes.
Yes.
I think technically, yes, yeah.
What about Avatar? Is that an anime?
Avatar is not an anime.
Yeah, I mean, people can consider it, it's like anime adjacent, but people it's an anime, it's kind of, yeah, it has to be like made in Japan in order to be an anime.
Word. What if you're an American and you move to Japan and make an anime? Is that an anime?
Then that's an anime.
Some people are doing that.
If it's made in Japan, then it's made in Japan.
Facts. You heard it here, guys.
We're here making the rules of what's anime.
Moving on.
Oh, here's an adaptation of a TV show, since we're talking about that. Well, I guess what came first? Well, actually, Cards came first.
The chicken came
first. But also had a TV show and also had a video game. And that is motherfucking Pokemon. We all grew up with Pokemon, I'm pretty sure. And I'm pretty sure we all watched the anime. Not even know it was an anime because it came on like Fox Kids or something crazy like that. But that's an anime. It started out as a Japanese show before it got dubbed in the United States. I think that might have been... Was that Funimation at that time? I don't know. But it was one of the most popular dubbed anime.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember.
Great. That's a great pick.
We're not talking about that. It's not live action, Brian.
Well, I mean, it comes from a video game.
Detective Pikachu.
I don't care. Yeah, it is live action. Yeah, Detective Pikachu. We can talk about that then.
Detective Pikachu is on my list. I was going to say that. I think that's an actual good one as well, because that's actually based off a specific Pokemon game, not just Pokemon in general.
That was a great movie, yeah.
I haven't been pressed to go back and watch it again. Like, it's funny because it ended up, you know, of course, getting compared to Sonic the Hedgehog, because they came out, what, within 4 or 5 months of each other?
Right.
And people will consider probably Detective Pikachu the superior one. I almost don't. I don't know. Like, it was fine, but maybe it was overhyped for me because I watched it like maybe a month or two after everybody had already watched it and talked about how crazy it was. But I was like, I mean, it's good. I have Ryan Reynolds fatigue. So that's probably not a good thing. He's voiced too many characters and he just plays the same character. Now he's just doing, you know, that thing. He's just being that guy over and over
again. I guess
again.
I was okay with it because I didn't see his face.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, because I like that movie.
Seeing Bradley Cooper as like Rocket Raccoon compared to Bradley Cooper as an actor in other things, it's like I was impressed to know that Bradley Cooper had that in him to be able to make that voice. Ryan Reynolds played Ryan Reynolds. He's doing the Idris Elba thing right now where he's just like, I'm a do me and y'all are going to walk around me not. Like, I can't. Sorry.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, no, I thought that movie, though, like going into it, not knowing the story of it, I thought it was like a sweet kids movie. I thought the Pokemon looked cool. It was cool. Like, oh, my God, we're seeing Pokemon live action. Like, I kind of forgot about that aspect of it going into it almost.
Yeah. I mean, that was another one that I think that was made in very good faith. To the point where they actually hired one of the people that they saw that were making like realistic interpretations of the Pokemon. They saw them like online on DeviantArt or something. And they were like, yo, man, we want to hire you. We want you to work on the monsters for this movie. And actually got him to create it. Like, that was, they actually went and dove deep into the culture of it and actually tried to, like, we want to make this movie look as cool as possible and look as, maybe not realistic, but yeah, I don't know. I thought that was really interesting, especially when people do stuff like that. I like when people, companies and stuff actually look for the people that have been doing this for the past 12 years. Cause you know, Pokemon's been out for fucking ever. So people have been making this kind of stuff since way before this movie was coming out, and actually reach out to them and give them jobs to work on it. Super cool.
Right. Well, I got one here, but I think this could also develop into its own episode because they're Disney ones. I feel like we had to tackle them at some point. But
we should talk about at least as a whole, as a, you know, the big three, the Mulan, the Lion King.
I mean, I was going to bring up Aladdin versus the Lion King. I know, Brian, you're on the opposite spectrum, but I think Aladdin is great.
Aladdin
and
is a great
Lion
movie.
Lion King sucks.
That's probably the best and the worst of from what Disney has done for their live action series.
I might have to agree with
Lion
you,
King
to be honest.
Was really bad.
Mulan's pretty bad too.
That's fair. I guess I kind of forgot about Mulan.
What'd you say, Mulan? I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, Mulan's pretty bad as well. They're both kind of bad for some of the same issues. It just kind of feels lifeless.
Lifeless. Aladdin was the most electric movie I've seen.
No, not Aladdin. I'm talking about Lion King and Mulan.
Okay.
But no, I do still have a critical opinion about Aladdin as well. I think that's the same issue with Mulan, is it's a movie based very much in culture. And I think the biggest disservice they did to those movies was watering down that culture. And I know that's probably to make it more digestible to a lot of more like a broader audience. Sure. And when it comes down to it, money, I get it. Whatever. I
thought they did a better job of it in Aladdin than in Mulan.
I agree. Absolutely.
All the colors in that Prince Ali number, which I think might be the best number in that movie.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, definitely.
It's so good. They have that fun little Bollywood dancing where Genie's controlling Aladdin. I thought that was super cool.
Oh, they even did like a Bollywood movie credits towards the end. They all like broke out and danced. Yeah. That was so mm-hmm. cool to see.
Yeah, very much.
And that's the thing. That's what I wanted more of. It's like I've seen a lot of Bollywood movies. I love them. So I really wanted to like see them go more headfirst into that culture. But I felt like whenever they started getting there, they kept drawing back.
The Disney sniper was like, you better choreograph
this. You better not. This is too much culture. You better get that shit out of there. And then they had that one weird music number where she was dancing around. Everyone was
the music
frozen.
Video. Yeah.
That was really, I feel like it's early 2000s music video. Like I thought she was going to put her fingers in her ears and start harmonizing. That one felt out of place. Yeah, I think Will Smith, I think he sold it well. I really appreciate him for not trying to be Robin Williams.
Yeah, he did a really good job.
He made it very much himself.
Considering he had everything going against him going into that movie, I thought he did a pretty damn good job.
Those are huge shoes to fill. I mean, if you're going to pick anyone, Will Smith is a very charismatic person that could potentially. But I love that he really went his own subset.
Yeah.
Which made him...
You nailed it.
But that was kind of one of those movies where it's like, I felt like he carried it a lot. And when that happens, especially when they're not the main character, I feel like that's something worth criticizing.
That's interesting.
Another movie like that was like Captain Marvel. Not to say that's another movie that we're going to talk about, but I just don't like movies where like the main character gets squandered by everyone around them. Like Nick Fury ran that whole movie. That was a Nick Fury movie.
I don't mind that. I think when it's handled right, like I don't know, that's a whole other topic, but like the Mad Max, the latest Mad Max movie, like Max was definitely a side character, but I think that was the one of the strongest things. It's just all about how it's
handled. I think that's kind of the point though for
him.
Though.
Definitely it's the point for that film.
It sucks when it's not the point and it just happens because someone might be
I definitely think it's not like a perfect movie. Like I'm upset there's no big snake at the end and yada, and it seems like the Disney brand of Aladdin can't have a sword now and fight a snake because he's a hero. I kind of hate that aspect of it.
They should have given him apples like the Sega Genesis game. Yeah, they made an Aladdin game. They made one for SNES. And they made one for Sega Genesis. But one, they wouldn't use a sword for some reason. I don't know if Nintendo had an issue with it or something. So they gave the motherfucker apples.
Yeah,
so there's
I remember
people
that.
Fighting you with like big ass swords trying to murder you, like stab you and shit. And you're just like,
that's funny.
Pew! Yeah. Pew!
No, but that's definitely a thing. We could do a whole episode on Disney live action. So let's move on to the other one of The Lion King. That one to me feels lifeless in the fact that, these animals look so realistic that they have no emotions on their face.
Right. But on the other hand, like I get that that's like the biggest critique and the easiest critique, but they did the Jungle Book movie that was very, very similar aesthetically. And the Jungle Book, I haven't seen the second one, Mowgli, I think it's called, but the first Jungle Book adaptation was actually a really, really good movie.
I never saw that.
There's
one
only
either.
Like Mowgli, his character is like humanized and everybody else looks like a photorealistic animal, but they speak English and stuff.
That's also the good point, is that at least in that movie there is a human element to it.
Yeah, for sure. But
to kind of latch on to.
I feel like aside from making them look like real animals, something just didn't sit right with the film. I think maybe it was because it was so like shot for shot similar to the the animated one versus the other ones take like a little bit of creative liberties, which I think is encouraged when it's too close but not the same. You got to do something. Something that's different.
Maybe it was because Beyonce was so fucking terrible.
that didn't help.
But that's what I was going to kind of talk about in that kind of aspect. And this might be just me being the cynical piece of shit that I am. But as soon as I see a movie that's a star-studded A-list cast of every single casting choice, I start to feel a little bit like it's cash grabby. Like you're not actually looking to make a movie that's in good faith or that feels true to the original. You're looking to make a movie that's going to make a lot of money because it's got all the famous people that you like in it. I think the reason Mario is going to be bad is because of the same reason. Like they didn't actually want to make a good Mario movie. They want to make a Mario movie that has all your favorite actors in it, so you'll go see it. What's another one like that? I feel like there's something else that's kind of like that, where they've done that and it's done poorly. Oh, the Scooby-Doo movie, the most recent Scoob. They had a chance right there in front of them to be like, we can take the voice actors that have been working on this shit for 30 years and do great voice work for this, but instead we're going to choose A-list actors that don't have any voice work under their belt. And it's like, that's not like, there's no reason to have Beyonce in that movie. She didn't do well. You shelled out millions of dollars for
her. She's not a good actor, and also her song is boring.
And that's the thing. It's like, Beyonce, you're great. I love what you do. Get that bad girl. Agent's doing hard. Got you on your back right now.
Right.
But like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck? You didn't do that because you wanted a good person to play Nala. You did that because you wanted Beyonce. And
exactly.
That was the end of it.
I was disappointed slightly by even Donald Glover, because when I heard he was cast, I was like, he's going to do really well. But even then, I was like, oh, I kind of forget that adult Simba is only half of this movie, and you have Kid Simba for the other half. And
Kid
I was
Simba
like,
was great.
He really doesn't do that much.
Right. I feel like Donald Glover wasn't bad, but he wasn't like as amazing as I would have, you know, expected or would have hoped for.
It all felt safe.
Kid Simba was the highlight, I think. Those two songs he did.
Also, they cut Scar's song, which is the fucking best song in that movie.
Be prepared.
God, I'm so mad. And which is dumb, because Chiwetel Ejiofor, who played Scar, was in Kinky Boots, a musical.
Oh,
like,
wow.
So he can sing. So it's like, why would you cut his number?
Damn.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's another one that I talk about where I think animation just brings a different energy to the movie completely. It's not stiff. With animation, you make things very fluid. Art direction is very important with it. Like, and that's why I think that animation to live action is so fucking rough, is because you just can't get that same, I guess, fluidity that you're trying to go for there. Like, the way that Scar drops Simba's father, and the way that like the hyenas move, and how slithery, and the way their heads bob back and forth, like you just can't really replicate that in live action, and even in CGI, it just doesn't have the same thing. And I think that's where I, watching that movie, was just like, okay, I want to go watch The Lion King. You know what I mean? Like, that's just what felt like.
I knew that this movie was not going the way I kind of wished it would. Was when I was like, oh, I'm just watching a real lion cub be sad about its real dead parent now in real life. I was like, what the fuck? This just is sad to me now.
Yeah, it was a really real Nat Geo show.
Yeah. I was like, I don't like this.
And they just put voices over everybody. Fuck.
Yeah.
I had no interest in that movie. I only saw it because of my girlfriend at the time. And it was exactly what I expected. And I felt bad for being right, because I think I told her months in advance, so this is gonna be a bad movie. I just hope you know. She's like, I love The Lion King.
Yeah. I had my I was trying to be cautious, because I knew that like putting it all complete quote unquote live action, whatever, it's gonna take away the magic of it. So I was like, I don't know what this movie's gonna be, and it was what it was.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's why I'm so critical of Aladdin, I think, because I was really excited about Aladdin, because that's one of my favorite Disney movies of that time.
Classic Disney movies, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm holding out for Little Mermaid. We'll see what happens. I'm hoping that's great.
I was going to say Hercules.
Oh, Hercules.
Are they going to make that?
Hercules. If they did a Hercules, that'd be amazing.
That would be a good one.
I'd be so down.
Bring Will Smith back.
That and Tarzan, man.
Will Smith as Zeus.
Oh, I forgot about Tarzan. Holy shit. This Will Smith plays every single like big character. He's going to play Ursula.
That's fine with me. I'm fine with that.
That actually would be kind of dope. He's pretty pompous. I could see it.
Yeah, that'd be good. I mean, it should have been Queen Latifah, but whatever. That's for another episode.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I'm just going to rattle off a couple real quick, unless you guys have another big one. We can just end on that, another big one.
Go for it. What you got?
All right, I'll just rattle like one or two. Anyone see fucking The Cat in the Hat? Because that movie sucks.
That movie's a fever dream.
Oh, God, it's so horrific.
I mean, the book
it's
is
nightmare
a
inducing.
Fever dream. Everything he did was like on acid.
It's true. A lot of Dr. Seuss shit is not great. The Grinch, that's also a really terrible, horrifying movie.
Grinch. I love that movie. I love that movie more than the cartoon, actually. But I mean, I love both of them.
Yes, I agree.
I remember watching the Jim Carrey versions just so many times.
Oh, see, I was terrified by the trailer of him. And I was like, I don't want to watch this movie ever.
It was great. I love Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey's really good at being crazy.
Yeah.
And then rattle off a couple of good ones. Casper, the old school 90s Casper movie.
Oh, man.
That's a great movie. I love
that. That's one of those movies that I just hyper fixated on as a kid, that I just watched like once a week for like 3 months for some reason.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
And my parents thought I wasn't okay.
Casper, I will say George of the Jungle technically is an adaptation.
Oh, wow.
As well.
Yeah, I remember that TV show.
Is that with Brandon Fraser?
Yeah, it is. Oh, no, it is Brandon Fraser.
Brandon Fraser. Yeah.
I forgot that's when he was the Golden Boy. And then Ninja Turtles, technically.
Oh.
But that's kind of based off of comic, sort of-ish.
They had cartoons, too. I think even before that movie came out. God, I used to love those movies. They are also Fever Dream. They look so bad.
They're kind of similar to the Mario. Like, I feel like, is that the same studio or something? Because they feel the same in my
very,
head.
Very dirty.
I mean, they both take very place in a looking. Disgusting city.
Yeah,
so.
Oh my gosh. Just need to gotta take a shower after watching those.
Yeah.
Even the costumes look dirty.
And then let's end on one bad one. Fat Albert.
Oh, man. I never saw this, but I really wanted it to be good. I heard it was
I'm
not
pretty sure
good.
I saw it in theaters with my parents. I think my parents wanted to see it.
Wasn't
some reason.
It Kenan Thompson?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, it was.
Oh, man.
That's upsetting.
What were they thinking? But yeah, unless you guys have other ones, I think that's it.
The best and the worst.
What I say, what's our general consensus on a live action adaptation? It sounds
it's
like
a grab bag. It's a hit or miss process.
Yeah. If you're going to do it, tread cautiously.
Honestly.
If you're going to watch one, also tread cautiously.
Right, yeah. It depends on the property, and it depends who's doing it. Basically, kind of like with anything, even just above adaptations. If you get the right person who's actually creative and passionate about the project, you know, you got a better chance of it being a decent movie. Whereas if it's a cash bag, like half of the Disney ones are, then it's like you're gonna get what you get. You know,
right? Yeah. So it's hard.
Still, I still like to see them because, like, you know, childhood and nostalgia mostly. But I don't know. Maybe they should leave them alone.
I think they should, especially with anime. Anime to live action adaptation has been notoriously bad. I still don't know if there's any that have ever been good. And I don't know if they ever will be one that ever be good. With Cowboy Bebop getting canceled.
What are you talking about? Ghost in the Shell is great.
Oh, yeah. Ghost. Fucking Jesus Christ. It sucks. Ghost in the Shell is so good. And that
you know,
movie was
I will
so
say
bad.
One thing, and this is not a brave statement. Stop casting white people in all these animes. For God's sake.
And I think white people agree.
Right.
White people are also like, sure.
Just stop it. Stop it.
Yeah, we have One Piece is going to come out with a live action adaptation on Netflix soon. They might scrap it now that Cowboy Bebop did so bad. Death Note had a live action adaptation recently, and that was really bad. It's just not. Also, maybe Netflix shouldn't be handling these either, to be fair.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I think live action adaptations are about as hit or miss as Netflix shows.
And that's their favorite thing to do, is either throw it and hit it fucking square on, right in the middle bullseye, or hitting the wall. There's no in between. Mm.
Basically.
They're never scoring 2 points on the dartboard.
All right. Well, I think that's it then. This was fun. This is definitely something we can come back to at any point. And also, like, do subgenres, like we were saying, the Disney stuff. But this was fun because nothing original comes out anymore these days. Everything's based off of something.
True. We're living solely off of nostalgia.
100% true.
Well, I'm going to keep rooting for them, though. I hope that they make some better ones. And it's pretty 50-50 now. We'll see who wins by the end of time.
I'm going to drop a hot take. Drop a hot take before we leave on what I expect to be made within the next 5 years. I think they're going to make a live-action adaptation of Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, interesting.
I think they're gonna
I'd
do
be
it.
So down for it. I would love to see them try to make sense of it.
That story is nonsense. There's no way they could do it. It'd have to be at least a trilogy.
Okay, who would you hire for the director and or like creators or like studio director or anybody? Cinematographer?
I mean, well, Disney has to have a hand in it, of course. So they get a choice.
You need someone who's good with fantasy to direct.
I'm gonna go. I say Roger Deakins and Quentin Tarantino.
Oh my
Quentin
God.
Tarantino.
Oh yeah. It'll be like super, super grungy.
Sora's just saying the N-word every
They're
5 seconds for no reason.
Spitting on the ground.
So it's just gonna be black and white.
Come on, Goofy, get your ass up.
Oh my God.
And yeah, Roger Deakins did like Sicario in the newest Blade Runner, like super low key, like dimly lit everything. Huge vista landscapes. You see Donald and Goofy just walking in slow-mo. Yeah.
Oh, honestly, that's I like so that. Funny. I don't know if I want to
Sora rolls up in a Cadillac with a keyblade on his back, like, come on, guys, hop in. Let's get some cheeseburgers. That sounds
just
like
chopping nobodies in half.
That's the only Kingdom Hearts movie that I would be up for, yeah.
What's making me mad is I can already, like, see the cinematography of, like, you just see the chain of like his keyblade like fall out of the Cadillac and it's like a zoom in on it and you just see the Mickey Mouse symbol on
right?
there.
Right, like this sounds like a great movie.
The Cadillac is called the Gummy Ship.
The license plate Gummy.
Yeah.
You got Chip and Dale in the back, sunglasses on.
Oh,
Jesus Christ. I hate that I like this idea so much.
We just put it in the universe.
Let's go, guys. Come on.
So Disney,
guys.
If you're listening, I know you are. We want to
make it happen.
Make it happen.
Make it happen.
Pay we want to see Sora say the N-word. All right, guys. That's it for today.
I can pass on that part, actually.
Yeah. Let's, all right. Let's move on to our final segment of the week, guys.
We want Goofy to say it.
All right. All right. It's time for our final segment of the week, listeners, that we like to call Free for All. Title pending. This is a segment where we kind of do whatever we want, but this week we can't do whatever we want because it's the holiday season.
Structure.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
It's actually just time, holidays. I guess.
It is a holiday. One of them.
It's a holiday.
Couple holidays.
Happy winter solstice, Kwanzaa.
Easter.
It is winter non-denominational holiday. The end.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're going to go this free-for-all. We're going to say our, at least one of our favorite holiday like memories, whether mm-hmm. or not it involves something that we've talked about on this podcast and in the zeitgeist that we like. So yeah, this is our little way of celebrating the holidays.
Yes.
With
yes.
You listeners. Devin, you want to go first?
I will do it. Yes. I mean, you know, we all remember in the spirit of our podcast, you know, we all remember being really excited, you know, having that true Christmas spirit where you actually get like something you're excited for, right? It fades away as you get older, I feel like, because now, like, you know, as an adult, I actually was caught myself almost asking my parents for like laundry detergent or something for this Christmas. I was going to be like, you know, there's like this new laundry detergent, it's like Sheets. And I caught myself. I was like, wait, hold on. Hold. I'm not there yet, but we're close.
Devin can only do laundry for the 2 months after December.
Yeah, it's like, well.
Then he's got to wait till the next holiday.
Like, oh, fuck, out of laundry. Guess I'll wait for Christmas.
I'm kind of at the point where I actually would be excited. I would be happy with socks. Like, I think for a long time, I was like, man, I never want to do that.
Socks
but anyway,
are good.
But in that spirit, I have two games that were very like, that I felt that spirit very much so. And the first one was Mass Effect. When I got that, like, you know, I'd heard all the hype about it. And I remember staying up very late, like that first night, like driving around the like with the Mako, like driving around like the like one of those like ice planets, just like going straight up a cliff that you're not supposed to drive up, but like trying to just go directly to the waypoint. And I remember that very vividly, like playing that for like the week after, getting that and just be super hype. But the main story though is like when I got Halo Reach, because I didn't have Xbox Live for most of my childhood. And then in college, I discovered that like, oh, I can actually plug it in and like to the wall and like get Xbox Live. So I plugged
me
it
and Charles
in Christmas
literally
night.
Had Xbox Live and we played Halo Reach every single day. You just could have fucking came over, dude.
No, this is at my you know, my boondocks house, like way out in the boonies.
God damn
and
it.
So
man.
Plugged it in. And like, you know, back then Halo had like the players lighting up like on the side, like when a match is found, you know? And I didn't think I would actually find any, but then they started coming in and I sucked at multiplayer because I'd only ever played the campaign.
Yeah, you think you know a video game and then you play online.
Right.
Oh my God. I got my ass kicked up and down until like 5 or 6 in the morning. And then my dad like woke up at like 5. He's like, what are you doing? Like the sun is coming up. It's like, well, I've gone like 0 for, you know, I've gone like 5 for, you know, 83 in all the games that I've been playing. But I was very excited to.
It's like it is the greatest day of my life.
It's like I actually killed somebody.
Nothing's worse than being like the best of your friends. Like I feel like when, especially for me personally, when online first came out, like being the best of your friends for so long, and then getting online, and then figuring out that there's a whole world of people that are way better than you. That's a humbling experience. But it takes you down a notch if I've ever seen it before in my life. And be like, people play like this. But I'm the best in my neighborhood. And it's like, fuck, this sucks.
It was very demoralizing.
So I felt that. When you said that, I felt that in my soul.
But it was still fun though. Like it was fun even though I sucked. But like, you know, you just stick to big team battle and then you can just kind of suck and no one really cares.
I'm just saying that after holiday break, you could have came back and you could have played in my room. We literally played almost every day.
Yeah, between the two of us, Brian would have like, you know, what? You'd go like 25-2, and then I'd go like, you know, I'd make it up the other way. It'd just
I'm okay at Halo. I ain't going to be competing no time soon, but I'm pretty close to getting Onyx in Halo Infinite right now, which is a top rank. But
oh, that's right. Listeners, Brian got a PC again, so he's back to Halo.
I'm back to Halo. I'm probably going to start grinding, and probably as soon as we finish this, to be honest, what time is it? Yeah, ready for that shit. I'm getting Onyx tonight. No, I'm not, probably. That's fine. I ain't got
Brian,
that kind
of
time.
Is it cross-platform? Because then we could play it and you could see how much I suck.
It is cross-platform, yeah.
All right. I can get you a solid 8 and 8 nowadays.
Oh, let's go, dude. I mean, I can actually go next since I kind of have a similar thing that I was going to say that I'm thankful for. It's not Thanksgiving, but I do love it a whole lot. So one of my favorite holiday experiences in my life is Christmas Noobs. I love Christmas Noobs. I love when you get a new game and you compete with new people, say Halo, for instance, which is probably going to happen with Halo Infinite that has came out in December 8th, is when Christmas time happens and someone gets a new computer, gets a new Xbox, and they're like, okay. I'm so ready to play a video game. And then they log into multiplayer Halo.
And you crush them.
And they go get their ass fucking
wrecked. And then Brian's on the other side saying, come here, bitch.
Brian was actually the one killing me.
They're going to get fucking uppercutted by me. Nothing is better than seeing a Christmas noob. Their opening day, they're like, I just really love Call of Duty. And then here I am playing Call of Duty for fucking 38 years of my life. And I'm like, yeah, what's up, bro? I'm here. Oh. It's just there's no other feeling to experience with it. And I was actually talking to one of my friends.
Much better than sound the like a bully. Like, I don't know.
Brian's
I don't,
the Grinch.
Yeah, I don't know. It is bullying, 100%. I support bullying. That is part of my lore.
Oh, gosh.
taking the Christmas joy and just turning it to ash.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing, especially nowadays, like getting new consoles and stuff. It's not just you take it out the box and you start playing. Like, you have to get updates. Like, it takes hours at this point to get everything set up to be able to play a video game. And then you finally get on Halo. And then here I am, someone's been grinding since day one. I am going to make sure that you have the worst experience possible.
Oh, my God.
It is my job
these
and my
video games
my purpose.
Aren't fun.
Yeah. I want to make you send your Xbox back. I want to make sure that you cry to your parents and you never want to play Halo ever again. That is my
just
job.
Uninstall.
And I've done a pretty good job about it. God, Halo's been out for 20 years now. For 20 years, I've made it my personal bitch. Position.
Oh my
to make
gosh.
Sure you take your Xbox back every single year.
Ryan, someone hurt you in the past, and we're gonna get to the bottom of this by the end of this.
I mean, it's a coming of age story. You know what I mean? It's American Pie that you just have to go through it. You have to deal with. We all start from
you have
but
to
also,
be broken.
But also, Master Chief killed his parents.
He's got the Batman origin story going on. Oh, I mean, gosh. We all start from somewhere, and everyone has to go through. It's just like it. It's a
it's
hazing
true. It's true.
Of sorts.
Yeah.
Yeah. In order to be the best, you have to, like, even Ninja, your favorite blue-haired guy, he had to go through it at one point where he had to sit there smacked. And be, he has tears in his eyes with the controller in his hand. Like
getting teabagged mercilessly by, like, three people.
They're kicking my ass, bro.
This is why I play single-player games.
Right.
Exactly.
I can't handle that amount of stress.
This is why I mute whenever I play multiplayer. Yep. I just mute everyone.
So every single year, especially in a game that I love, like Overwatch, 50% off right now. There's going to be Christmas noobs in that. It's December 25th. I'll be on it.
Smacking them.
And y'all will be dead looking at me, staring at your corpse.
I will Christmas joy.
Be not doing that. I will be staying far away from Brian.
Brian's like in that moment where the Grinch is like, you know, holding onto the sleigh and he's like, oh, can I hold it on? And then Brian's like, wait a minute. And then he just shoves it down the mountain, like into the chasm. Like,
yep.
Nope. No presents for you.
As a Zoomer say, I'll be twerking all over your body.
That's great.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, that's good. I can go next. From just quick thinking about it, was probably when I got my PS3 in 2006. Mm. Because my parents like to do this thing. My parents take Christmas like very seriously. And so back then, they would like, it was me and my sister. So we'd go downstairs, open presents like normal. And we, as a family, would normally, like, watch movies every Christmas. Like, the new movies that you'd get from throughout the year if you didn't see any. And so we would just go watch them all day and chill out, pretty much. And so we finished presents. And then we go downstairs to watch movies, downstairs, TV, yada, yada. And then me and my sister go down there, and there's two boxes.
I was about to say, can I stop you there? Do you have the kind of parents that are like, oh, I didn't get you that thing that I got you? And they're sipping their little coffee at 6 a.m.
Yep. I sure did. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so we go down there, and there's two boxes next to, like, our baby pictures. Like, one's next to my photo, and one's next to my sister's. It's so, like, cliche Hallmark Channel shit. And then we open it. My sister, she got a laptop for her high school graduation. And then I opened mine, and I got a PS3. And it was like, holy fucking shit, this is the future. Because mm-hmm. that was like the big jump here. From like yeah. to HD. Like, this is it, right?
Yeah. PS3 had Blu-ray. And honestly, yeah. it was almost cheaper to get a PS3 than it was to get an actual Blu-ray player.
It yeah, was. Point, yeah. It absolutely was. My family used my PS3 as a Blu-ray for about 15 years, I feel. And then, oh yeah, and that was like a really great gift. And I remember just wanting to boot that shit up as immediately. I'm like, let's do this. I don't even remember what game I had. I think the first game I think might have played was, it might have been Ultimate Alliance. Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Oh, wow, no way. I was thinking the kill switch or...
Oh, Killzone?
Killzone, yeah.
No, I didn't get that.
That's good. That game
yeah,
sucks.
I'm pretty sure it might have been, well, at least one of the first games I played might have been Marvel's Ultimate Alliance.
These graphics are amazing.
If anything, it's funny. At that point. I remember when I got my Xbox 360 that I played the fucking Bubble Bobble game or some shit that just came with this. I didn't have a single game when I first got it.
It was like three, like you could move three bubbles at a time, right? Or something. Mm-hmm.
Wow, it fucking sucked, dude. But I was just like, I have an Xbox 360. So I feel that's yeah. so strong.
It was like, hell yeah. This is the greatest.
That's yeah. That was awesome. A great story.
Well, I remember very clearly. I say very clearly, but it's a little foggy, honestly. There was. I think that it is one Christmas, but it might be two Christmases, because my parents really celebrate Christmas very enthusiastically. Growing up as kids, we got presents and stuff. But I remember this one year. It might have been 2 years because I got two pretty huge gifts as a kid. I was like floored. And I feel like this was when my gaming career started. I might have mentioned this to you guys in passing before, but it was like late 1990s, and the biggest things that I got that year was I'm not sure if we already had it, but I think I think me and my brother already had the Nintendo 64 with like a couple like rinky dink games on it, but we also got the new Game Boy Color with Pokemon. And The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. And I was just like, mind exploded. Like, those were like two of my favorite games of all time. I think we got the blue version, which was so cool. Mm-hmm. And I think, I can't remember how that game worked, because me and my brother shared like everything growing up. So we played the one Game Boy version of...
Wait, I was about to say, you can only have one save on there. File.
So we took turns for like a month, and then we were like, okay, maybe we should just like play this all the way through, and then one of us can have the other turn, which was kind of torture, but I think I was a lot more into it, so I took the first turn, which was a long, long turn.
Right.
But yeah, that really like solidified. Like, I feel like games before then for me were like a fun thing, but when I got Ocarina of Time and Pokemon, I didn't even understand Pokemon. Like, I didn't understand like what an RPG game was. You know, I was like, this was like 1999. I was like, I don't know, nine years old, maybe 9 or 10, 8. What is math? Anyway,
young. You were young.
I was very young, and I was, but I didn't really understand the elements. I was like, potions. Like, I gotta go to this center and heal people. Like, okay, now someone's poisoned. Like, what is going on? I remember walking around the town in circles before I got the Pokemon. I'm like, why won't they let me leave this village? I have to be the very best and catch all these pocket monsters. There were so many things that were so confusing at that time, because you didn't have the internet to like Google stuff. But it was just such a pure time in a lot of our childhoods. Mm-hmm. And I just remember that Christmas morning was just like, that was
electric.
Pretty magical. Yeah,
I mean, that's lit. You got that was that's a crazy Christmas. Like,
yeah,
I can imagine.
It was very crazy.
The look on your faces.
Because I didn't even know like what these games were. Before. I don't know how my parents found out, but they did their research that year. Mm. They did it well.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I mean, it's funny because I'm 30 at this point, and I play Pokemon the exact same way I played it when I was 5. Nothing has changed. I pick the characters that look cool, and that is the end of that. And that's how I play the game. Like, it's funny, like that nostalgia that instantly hits you as soon as you get that. Like, I feel like I would think about that Christmas morning every single time I play Pokemon. You know what I mean? Like, I just think about when I was a child.
I kind of do. It's two beautiful games, and it's a great memory. I feel like they could have been two different Christmases. It feels like one.
I mean,
in
the
my
listeners
mind.
Don't have to know that. You can establish it right now.
I'm
going to
go
Christmas.
With one. I'm going to go with one. It was one.
I mean, also, Ocarina of Time is an amazing game as well. So it doesn't matter how many Christmases after it could have been. That's still a,
yeah, I didn't even, I didn't even talk about that. But yeah, that was just like, oh my God.
That's pretty banger of a Christmas.
It's funny that you mentioned like the sharing thing. Like that was such a point of contention between like me and my brother and my sister. Like we, I think back then my parents like limited us to like half an hour a day. So like when we first got a GameCube, like it was like, you only get half an hour a day. And then I'd be like, but mom, like Moore's going to play something stupid. Like I should not get her half hour because like,
Half hour between all of you.
No, no, no. Half hour, like half hour each.
Okay.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, but
I mean, that's still not much.
Yeah, yeah, it's not enough. And like you'd get your half hour and they'd be like, all right, get off. And be like, but they're gonna play like the Mary-Kate and Ashley game. It's dumb. Like, like
I'm playing Rocket
League. It's just so dumb. Like I should be able to pay, take hers because it's dumb. Like, shut up.
He's 3 years old. I just wanna play Rocket League.
Like just because their game is dumber, that means like I should be able to play their game. Like just stupid child logic.
Child
like,
logic, that's great.
Yeah.
Your parents are just like, shut up.
Right.
That's great.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, but I went through the same thing. I had an older brother as well. So we just always kind of went through that kind of thing of having to share everything that we had, and that included video games. So yes, we it's funny. it's classic. It's funny.
Well, yeah. Listeners, those were some great holiday memories. That was fun. And maybe we'll do something a little different or some similar in a year or 6 months, whenever that next holiday is. Who knows?
Hopefully all of you get all the games that you want for Christmas this year.
Yeah. Yes.
For your holiday, your non-nominational winter holiday. We hope you get whatever you love.
Yes.
And also hope you are a noob at that.
And sign in so
that I can make sure that I take you to school.
If you encounter someone who's beating the crap out of you in Halo, it's probably Brian.
Brian will make you regret
it. I'm just going to let you know, by the way, X, I'm going to be on there. And I'm going to make sure that you have a terrible
Or you can play Pokemon or Zelda and have an amazing time by yourself.
Yeah.
And in Pokemon, I'm still going to somehow show up. I'm definitely one of the characters before you hit your rival. And I'm going to make sure you have a terrible time in that as well. I have fire Pokemon. Enjoy it.
Oh, that's so good. I want to see Brian as a sprite.
I'm pretty sure I would be a fire trainer and all things, even though, you know, I'm a water sign in astrology. But I think I'm going to have fire Pokemon.
Oh, that's good. Well, listeners, you can email us at thefortressof@gmail.com. Fortress spelled F-O-U-R. Feel free to email us any questions you have or suggestions or recommendations or anything like that. And we'll talk about it in the future. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at thefortressof and thefortressof YouTube channel as well. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your grandma, tell your cat. Tell all of your friends and family that you're seeing throughout these holidays. Safely, I hope. Be safe out there.
And tell the media companies, too.
Yeah, to get Warner Brothers
so
on
they
the
can
line
listen
and let them
and
know
any sponsors maybe
following
our professional advice,
our strict instructions. Yeah,
tell like Audible. I think they sponsor a bunch of podcasts. You know, whoever Joe Rogan talks to.
Hey, Raid Shadow Legends. I'm just saying, I know what kind of money y'all be throwing out there. I'm just saying, I will definitely level up to level 10 and get that grab bag. If you know you want to go ahead and throw 10K at us real quick.
Yeah, what's up? What's up, Tesla? We love Sonic,
right? Yeah.
Elon Musk.
Team Sonic, come on.
I like when you troll on Twitter. It's really cool.
If you want to sponsor me specifically, you can follow me on Instagram at Alex is an Alien.
Nice. I have OnlyFans now. If you guys want to go ahead and see my butthole directly.
Oh my God.
I am completely kidding, but you can also follow me on facebook.com/itz, by the way. You can also follow me on Instagram, itz_, by the way, and Twitch, where sometimes I stream some funny-ass games on,
by the way. Are you going to do a holiday edition of streaming where you're just smacking kids?
Probably not. I have not been streaming in a while. I do want to get back into it in 2022. That is one thing that I do want to commit to. Also, I want to start making content on YouTube. So eventually, you guys might see me plugging my YouTube.
Hell yeah.
But not
Hell
yet.
Yeah. Well, hey guys, if you can ever find my Instagram, I actually did make a post recently for the first time in like 2 years. So it's pretty exciting. Or maybe
I'm pretty sure I liked it. I have no idea what Devin's Instagram even is, but we do share memes every once in a while. So that's pretty cool.
No, it's too soon to give them a holiday gift, the listeners, and give them your Instagram. Sorry, Devin, you're going to have to wait.
I will say that the lunch that we did get, or the brunch or whatever we got, I thought the food kind of sucked. I'll be honest with you, Devin. I didn't say it while we were there.
Damn.
The burger was very bad.
Yeah.
Listeners don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Or did we mention? I don't think they said that on air.
Oh,
I'm sure they care a lot.
Me, Devin, and his girlfriend went to lunch together, and that lunch fucking sucked.
Listeners are biting their nails until they found out how the lunch
right,
went.
Right, yeah.
They're waiting all episode.
They're waiting for your review.
I gave Devin a lot of ideas of where we should go, and that was the one that he picked. And I didn't want to tell him that that was probably the last of my choices. Because I've been there before, and I knew it kind of sucks. But yeah, I have it in my refrigerator so cool right now, and I'm probably not going to eat it.
Bummer.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Kind of sucks.
I mean, I don't blame you, honestly.
Before we go, though, listeners, this is probably going to be our last episode of the year, but we will be back. We will be back in probably a couple weeks, but maybe sooner. Maybe we'll sneak in a little surprise in there in the next couple of weeks, but we should be back at least within the next 2 weeks. So be on the lookout, but we're probably going to take at least a week break for the holiday.
We'll do one that's just all Christmas carols. Like it'll just be an hour of just Christmas carols.
But yeah, so we will be back, though. We will see you in the new year. We hope you have a happy holidays and a safe new year. Be safe out there because the world's looking like crap, but it'll get better one day.
One day.
Don't forget to put a coat on because it's cold out there.
Yeah, put those short ones and shorts on. And then also,
he hasn't gotten it once since he's first said it.
I am drinking a green drink. This is pretty, I'm pretty sure this is radioactive.
We all told you not to drink that,
Brian. It's true. Brian made a poor choice today.
I have a confession, the Brian confession. This is going to be a pretty solid thing. I drank a green drink, and I'm pretty sure it has gave me 50% more shields, but also it has made me dead.
You're a husk in a body with body armor.
Exactly. That being said, Spider-Man is good. Watch it.
Ooh.
Yes. Some of us have seen No Way Home. Go check it out. No spoilers. You'll hopefully get an episode soon in the future.
Can't wait.
Yeah, so there's a lot of content coming your way, listeners. It's coming.
Don't worry. Yes.
Many reviews.
Be on the lookout. But thank you for listening. If you've been listening, tell everyone. We appreciate everything you've done.
Very long outro.
Thanks for sticking around, Alex. Yeah, I know. This is a lot of banter here. Thanks, Alex, for the music. Brian, thank you for the art.
Yeah.
Devin, thank you for being here and letting us joke on your Instagram every week. And thank you, Jackie, for helping edit the podcast every week. All right, we're getting out of here. Happy New Year. We'll see you next year in another episode of The Fortress of...